loose ball. Ewing goes up. The basket counts.
He gets it over to the doctor. Tie ball game. Here's a shot. Julius. He scores!
Anthony for three.
Bang! That one goes down, and the game is tied.
Here's Durant moving on Tucker. He turns. He shoots. Yes!
Talking Knicks, Nets, and all things across the association, this is Pick and Pod on WFUV Sports.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Pick and Pod here for WFUV Sports, the exclusive NBA podcast of WFUV Sports. I'm Chris Percyinen, he's Colin Lochran, he's Will Talent, and we're so excited to be here today and talk about the state of the National Basketball Association. And listen, usually this is a Knicks and Nets focused pod, but today we've got lots of league-wide news to discuss as well. Guys, I am fired up, but I would be remiss if I did not mention that we're on spring break right now. So how are you guys doing? How's it going? Where are you? Anywhere fun? Colin, let's start with you.
Well, Chris, obviously glad to be on spring break, and March is sort of the biggest basketball month in the country. Really not because of the NBA, but because of the NCAA tournament. I like to think that tournament almost serves as a primer for the NBA playoffs that come in April, May, June, and people are getting excited about the sport. People are ready to see their teams make runs. So I'm glad to be on spring break. I'm watching a lot of basketball, a lot of college basketball, a lot of NBA basketball as well. So I'm excited to unpack everything happening on the hardwood of the association.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Con. The next 3 months, definitely, in my opinion, probably the best stretch of basketball, no matter what the level is. It's just pretty much all high intensity up until late May, early June, whenever it ends. So really pumped to talk with you boys today, Kay Peter and Colly Locks. I am in Tampa, Florida today.
Wow, look at you.
Way
look at
down
this guy.
There.
Get a load
we're
of this.
We're all
guy.
Over the place. We're all over the place today. How about that? But I'm doing good, fellas, and I'm ready to talk some ball. I like what we have in store today, too, because the NBA season kind of winding down, regular season winding down a little bit. Some interesting topics spark some conversation. I'm ready to get into it.
Yeah, you know, you have to give up football, but you get such a great time of year between basketball and baseball that I think it's worth it to me just for this little stretch. So,
and Madden is forever.
Madden is forever. You can't stop Madden. You can't
no,
stop
you can't.
It.
No, you can't,
no, you
brother.
Can't. So I want to start here. Something that is not forever. The G League Ignite. They're done. I mean, you take a look at the players that have come out of this thing. I know people think about Jalen Green. I know people think about maybe Daishin Nix, or you even have Jonathan Kuminga, I think, is a nice success story. But what about Isaiah Todd? What about Dyson Daniels, Marjan Beauchamp, Jaden Hardy, Scoot Henderson, Leonard Miller, CeeDee Sissoko? And man, I want to shout out a couple guys like Michael Foster Jr., who no one's heard of. I really liked him as a prospect. Goes to the G League Ignite, never hear about him again. Scoot Henderson, slow start to his rookie season. Of course, he's a rookie guard. We know they always have slow starts, but that slow, I don't know. You know, Scoot Henderson was supposed to be a generational offensive dynamo, and you've already got some NBA brains looking at him saying, I think he's a defensive prospect first and foremost. What are we doing here? Like, it's clear that the development is not happening. Now, I want to present the good and the bad at once. The bad, guys not developing the way they should be. The big names going through that program, coming to the NBA and taking years to catch on. Jalen Green's having his first month of his career where he looks like a star right now in Mickey Mouse March, where we know in the middle of the season, all sorts of guys go on heaters and it doesn't last to the playoffs, you know. But the good of it, does NIL get legalized the way it did if the G League Ignite didn't put that pressure on the NCAA? Do we see the college basketball landscape the way it is today if the G League Ignite, if the NBA didn't come out and say, hey, college kids, we've got another option for you. Think about the kids that committed to schools like Syracuse, Kentucky, and then just withdrew and went to the G League Ignite. It was a good chunk. And guys like Marjan Beauchamp still got a chance to contribute on a good team like the Bucks. You know, sometimes you think these guys got drafted a little later. They're not going to play right away on a good team, but Can't get over Dyson Daniels, man. That kid was 6'8" point guard, supposed to be, looking like for A10 reference, like Reed Bailey out there, and he looks like a tall Tyus Jones on a good day. I mean, it's not working, right? And so for the G League Ignite, I guess this is a eulogy, but some good, some bad. Overall, probably a good thing it's canceled, because it while it was a great attempt and it led to significant change, it was not doing what it needed to be doing.
I don't think it was ever as beneficial to the audience from an entertainment point of view than the NBA thought it was going to be. Because the way I look at this is that the NCAA is the main product, right? College basketball is something people come to watch, men's and women's side of it. The G League Ignite was a subproduct of the broader NBA. It's very hard to generate interest of a subproduct than a main product. That's true of anything. Even if you look at how places like Apple or Amazon operate, it's all under the big Amazon or Apple umbrella, but the name in and of itself is a brand. When you go to the NBA, you're expecting NBA level competition with teams that have storied histories. When you go to the NCAA tournament and you're watching some college hoops, you're expecting student athletes to go out and compete. It's going to be the Dukes, the Kentuckys, the Blue Chips. And then every once in a while, you have a Cinderella. You'll have an NC State. You'll have something like what was happening last night against Kentucky, things of that sort. So I don't think the Ignite ever captured the audience in the way that it intended to. And I think that's a product of the NBA not putting enough stock into trying to grow it properly and trying to make it larger from a social media standpoint and from the standpoint of you just need to have people be aware of it. There is a, I would assume, a large section of NBA fans that had no idea that the Ignite was a thing. And even if they knew what the G League was, they didn't know that it was supposed to be some sort of substitute for the collegiate experience and playing college basketball, in that, oh, you could find new players here. These guys are going to grow kind of out of nowhere. So from that standpoint, they failed to even get the notoriety to where it was supposed to be, to where it would have had a longer lifespan.
Yeah, you bring up an interesting point there, Colin, about the audience too, because obviously, it is all about the audience. But with this league, I didn't really see, as you're saying, they could have put a little bit more into the audience. But I think, that's why the audience to me in this scenario isn't as, much of a pressing issue. I think it's more of just the developmental growth of these young men. These kids are coming in at 18 years old. They cannot compete with G League guys. I don't care how good you are. If LeBron James was 18 years old and played in the G League Ignite, there would be serious physical differences. Seriously, though, these G League players are grown men. The G League Ignite guys are boys. So I think it was a great attempt, like you said, KP. And as you said too, Colin, there's a lot missing there, especially with the audience's pull. More people are gonna watch NCAA basketball. I can barely name any names from the G League Ignite other than Scoot Henderson, and I would need KP's list that he rattled off. Like, so I get that. I as me as part of the audience, I'm not tuned in. I'm more tuned into college hoops because we're looking at this. These guys are foregoing college. They would be playing against guys that are physically a match for them. It was a great attempt. And I think like guys like Scoot Henderson, their player development and growth seriously stunted. And that's why we're getting these, quick turnarounds in comps for Scoot Henderson. Is he a bust? Is he not? I think it was just because he's been outmatched for 4 straight years. Even in college, if you're outmatched, the guy is probably better than you, or he's just like taller than you. There's physicalities in there too, but I'm telling you, seeing some film and how some of these guys would play against G League guys, it just didn't seem fair. Yeah, I mean, they don't physically match up to G League guys. They just don't.
It's tough, right? And you think that those guys getting that experience is going to be integral to them being able to translate to the NBA level, but it's hard to when you're supposed to zag when everyone else zigs, right? And I think that's not what the G League was accomplishing. I think there are specific college coaches, like you put Keith Urgo in charge of that program. I feel like focus on the defense. Those guys would translate better to the NBA. I'm not sure that the program, and this is no hate to the executives and coaches that were running it and in charge of it, but it just wasn't. Guys were not coming out of there developed the way they should have been. And, you know, the Overtime Elite League is also trying itself out. And the other day, a player hit a clutch shot and grabbed the PA mic and screamed into it. Tari Eason quote tweeted it and goes, "See, this is why I tell Amen he wasn't playing real games. That is unserious." And I just think, like, for that, it's like, how can you realistically look at these leagues and be like, this is NBA adjacent? It's not. So for the matter of, hey, you know, we're trying to develop these young kids into men the way you were saying, well, I'm not sure that the G League Ignite is, like, on paper a terrible idea. I just think that, hey, it wasn't working. It needed more time to work, but these kids don't have that time. These kids passed up on huge, huge offers from big colleges to go to this program. They took a leap of faith and, you know, they didn't reach that other side. They're falling in the lava. So, you know, I think something worth trying, not something that went how it should have. Now, to pivot topics here, something that I don't think is worth trying, but is certainly getting a shot. I can't believe I'm about to say this. The NBA League Pass app is about to integrate live gambling into the interface. So to give you an example, you know, about the right quarter of your phone screen when tilted horizontally can be pulled up to be a DraftKings menu or a FanDuel menu. And you can be placing bets on the games you're watching through the NBA interface. And I think this is two-sided, right? We know, you know, you won't on Pick and Pod. We're very aware that when there's money to be made, you know, these big companies are going to try and get their hands on it. You look at the things that have been legalized recently, and it's not a matter of, hey, like, this is being legalized because it's good for people. Things are being legalized because these companies want to be able to get their money and not have it going down under the table. The other side of it is that if you're the NBA and you're so embracing this stuff, you really need to be reviewing plays, have officiation be perfect, because you can't have this much money on the line and be encouraging it and be saying, "Oh, well, you know, we blew that call. Sorry. Sorry, they won," you know? So it's really, really tough for the NBA to kind of embrace gambling to this extent when it doesn't seem like they're even ready to. I mean, you had the Knicks lose a game this year because in the final possession of the game, Brunson was called for a 3-point shooting foul that the NBA later came out and said, "Yeah, no, that wasn't a foul." Well, if that wasn't a foul, the shot goes up. By the time it even reaches the rim, the buzzer's off, and the shot didn't go in. So how do Knicks moneyline bettors go to the NBA and not have a fair case to say we need our money back? You know, so I just say the NBA is, "Oh, that's the result that was ruled." Yeah, but you agreed it was ruled incorrectly. You know, you opened a can of worms, Adam Silver. It's not, it's like a tub, forget a can. I mean, this is like a vat, you know. I can't even imagine the amount of litigation that is going to be going down. Guys, I just got to turn over the mic. What do you think of this? What do you make of this?
I just think it's so unnecessary for the NBA to do this and integrate it into the app. It's one thing if they have some sponsorships with FanDuel or DraftKings or whoever it may be, or ESPN Bet. But to integrate a function into your own app that allows you to bet. Now, mind you, it's different than what ESPN did, because ESPN is not a league. ESPN is a channel or a platform that covers all of these sports. So essentially, as you hinted at, Chris, this is now encouragement on the part of the NBA to where you want your viewers, fans, whoever it may be, to essentially bet on the product that you're out there selling. And there's going to be cases where the product is lopsided. And that's where it gets a little bit murky from an ethics standpoint. And that's something that I'm going to be interested in. If, I don't know, the worst team in the league, whoever it may be, let's say the Brooklyn Nets, they might not be the worst team in the league, but they're trending there. They're trending there. Let's say the
I'm
Brooklyn
sorry, Colin.
Nets,
That was just really funny that that was the first team that you started.
they've been really bad. Let's say they're playing Denver Nuggets. You're telling me that the NBA is not going to try to see if they can get a little cash flow going on that sort of matchup by enticing viewers to bet on this game in a way that will make it look like a deal, but in the end, it's just a money grab. Now, obviously, money moves, right? Where it goes in one place can be used to other places. So maybe the NBA is thinking, all right, at the end of the day, we're just trying to generate revenue that is still going to help the general audience. The problem is that now the on-court product by many is going to be assumed to be tainted. That's not what I believe, but you're going to get people coming out of the woodwork that are going to start having NFL conversations where, oh, it's scripted and it might not be scripted at all, but you're going to get nutcases then to come out and start saying this garbage. And the worst thing is, there's already a strong population of people that are against sports betting that are going to be even more against it now because they're going to look at leagues like the NFL and the NBA and be like, see, they don't care about what they're doing for fans and the ticket front and all that. They just care about making money. And you're going to empower those people then to be like, they're even helping addiction now. So I don't understand this move. I don't like this move. I have no problem against sports betting if I didn't make that clear. I think this is empowering the wrong people, sending the wrong message, and could be very dangerous.
Absolutely. I mean, you brought up ESPN Bet. If you see the ads for ESPN Bet, they have personalities like SVP just on the screen. They're not doing anything that has to do with betting. They're just plastered on the screen. Like, it's like, hey, this famous person works for us and we want you to get $200 in bonus bets and Scott Van Pelt. You know, it's like not even coherent advertising. It's just like, famous person, free money, gambling, make every moment fun. It's only fun when it's for fun, responsible betting, and all this stuff that you know they don't want you to be responsible. You know they want you putting the mortgage on Hornets plus 15 and a half. You know, like I can't, I don't know what to say. It's too much.
I'm not going to be too rash because I do want to see how it plays out. I will say though, even with the ESPN, I know the ESPN thing is ESPN Bet is different than what the League Pass is doing, like you said, Colin. I just right now there's going to have to be examples and proof that they can get past this, but I'm kind of in that boat, Colin and Chris, where I'm like, I don't really want the leagues or ESPN to be involved at all for the sake of the sports, for all of the sports. The NBA here is kind of starting a domino effect with the NFL and ESPN kind of linking up and ESPN Bet kind of coming into the picture a little bit before then, and now DraftKings and the NBA are linking up for this. I think the conversation of the integrity of the sport, we could joke about it all we want. I really do think there is a conversation about it when the league is in on it. Like the NBA is really, really set on this. And you said it best, Chris. Adam Silver, with this move, has opened up an entire new can of worms. And right now, I don't love it because of anything. You guys said it perfectly. It's really just a money grab. Of course they want you to bet the mortgage. Of course they want you to throw this number of money so they make the most amount of money. Personally, leave it up to bet MGM, DraftKings, FanDuel. I know it's a everyone's trying to make the most amount of profit possible, but it's just a little concerning because the gambling industry, even sports gambling, is different than the sports industry. Two totally different things. Now that it's more legalized, these are things that we need to keep in mind and keep an eye out on. I just don't love it. I think especially with that, let's use the Rockets Knicks game as an example.
Yep.
It's
just recent. It's a good example.
Yeah, because now let's say we have a game like that. That's just, that would, I, to me, that looks, that smells explosive. It just smells explosive. You're going to get two different sides totally hell-bent on two different things. I just don't think it's a great idea. However, like I said before, I don't want to be too rash. I do want to see how it plays out. They're going to go with it. I will say right now, though, I don't love the sports getting involved. We'll just see what happens, though. It's all you can do.
Just one thing to add here, and this is going to sound very boomerish, but I'm going to do it because I think the story is appropriate for this sort of conversation. I was at my grandparents' house for Christmas, holiday season, all that, yada, 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 whatever, right? My younger cousin, who is maybe 4, 5, 6 years younger than me, so whatever that might be, I don't really know how old he is. He's just younger than me. Like, they're all the same age after a while. So we're talking about sports because, as you guys know, I love sports. Shocker, right? I'm on a basketball podcast. Who would think that I love this stuff, right? I ask him, oh, who do you think's going to win the championship? Denver looks pretty good. Knicks on a little run. Celtics could be dangerous. He couldn't answer any question about the teams, but he knew what the spread was for the Christmas games. He knew how to get the social security number that he needed to log in. He's way too young to be sports betting, but he understood what money line was. He understood what a parlay was. And I'm sitting there like, so you're now betting on Jason Tatum, but you couldn't pick Jason Tatum out of a lineup if you needed to. You couldn't get him at the airport if you needed to. Like, that's what you're telling me. He's like, yeah, I just know.
You may not even know his true skill set too. Like, you may not even know Jason Tatum, the basketball player. He just drops 35. So we're going to take his over on points every night. I hear what you're saying, Colin.
And I'm like, I'm flabbergasted because I can only imagine. Think about how spoiled we were to care for the games because they were the games happening because of the stakes. That is now missing from this younger generation, I fear. And this thing with League Pass is going to make it worse. That's what I'm sad about, is now you're going to have a generation of basketball fans, if you can even call them that, that have no idea what's going on outside of the betting aspect of things. And like I was saying earlier, what the spread is, you know, what's the over-under. And it was ridiculous because I sat there and I'm like, holy smokes. I mean, if I had grown up the same as him, perhaps I'm not doing what I'm doing right now. And that's a shame to think about.
100%. Well, guys, one topic to go, and I think the topic, one of the, something to acknowledge, is that there's really nothing to say about the Nets on this show. It's the same as usual. They're losing games. They don't have their own draft pick. They're an organization without organization right now. You know, they're playing for nothing, basically. Dorian Finney-Smith is back from his ankle ailment. Okay. You know, I don't think there's anything there. So we're just going to acknowledge that and move on. I think the place to end this one is the New York Knicks, guys, for two reasons. After the loss to the Denver Nuggets last night, even then, you know, you take a look at Jalen Brunson's stat line. The guy had 26 points and 9 assists on 11 of 23 shooting. An off night for him is star level play. Kendrick Perkins said this morning on First Take that there's not a point guard in the NBA that he would take today over Jalen Brunson. And yeah, obviously you think of names like Steph Curry and Damian Lillard, even Luka Doncic considered a point guard. And that's a big statement to make. And the other side, I wanted to acknowledge Sam Amick, who is really awesome and usually covers the Clippers for The Athletic, but also does league-wide stuff now. And he wrote an article about how Knick players don't care about the poll from NBA players that criticize Tom Thibodeau, that say that he's a coach they don't want to play for. The coach whom players would least like to play for, 43% of NBA players who took this survey voted the same coach, and it was Tom Thibodeau. Steven Silas was number two at 15%. There was a gargantuan gap it's almost like everyone just does it to do it. You know, Tibbs, I don't want to play for Tibbs. DiVincenzo says that poll doesn't mean a thing. He saw the poll, but he signed in New York. He also said guys in the NBA now are different than before. Everyone wants the game to be all offense. No one wants to come in and practice. So what do you guys make of this? The Knicks going after players that think the rest of the league is soft, that want to come in and crash the glass, that want to come in and work on defensive rotations all day with Coach Thibodeau and of Jalen Brunson fitting into that dynamic. And you know, Josh Hart always jokes that Jalen Brunson's the guy on the team who goes, guys, coach is right. If we want to win, we need to follow the game plan. You know, like he's like the big nerd for the coach, the big teacher's pet. What do you think of this being the culture that the Knicks have kind of invigorated in their building?
Well, it's that whole you come to Madison Square Garden and you get beat with metal bats for 3 hours argument that you love so much and I love as well, Chris. I think at the end of the day, anyone who plays for Thibodeau will appreciate playing for Thibodeau. It's a little bit of one of those things where unless you're in the situation, you won't appreciate the kind of coach he is and what he's trying to get you to understand. And for that to even happen, you need a certain amount of buy-in. Josh Hart, Jalen Brunson, Dante, all these guys, they bought in to what Thibodeau was selling. If the Knicks can continue to get players like that, they're going to be dangerous because from the sound of it, when you hear Brunson or Hart or DiVincenzo talk, there's a contingent of NBA talents that do feel the league has gone soft and don't want to play that style of basketball. If you can get an army of those guys, that's a scary team each and every night because they're not necessarily concerned about load management or anything else. They just want to win games. And a hungry team is a scary team.
It's all, Colin, you kind of just said exactly what I was going to say. Took the words right out of my mouth. You know, all I could say on this, guys, is if this poll doesn't matter at all, especially because the Knicks have a clinched playoff spot. If you're winning, how could you say, like, I really want to see who was on this poll fully. Like, I want to see the names on this list if they're not anonymous. Because if we're getting teams at the bottom of the barrel, I don't want to hear anything about playing for not playing for somebody. Tom Thibodeau has come to New York and has turned this franchise into actually something kind of relevant. For the first time since Carmelo Anthony. I don't want to hear it. You don't want to play for him. We don't want you. We're not going to root for you as a fan. Don't show up. That's it. As Colin, you said it best. The guys the Knicks have signed have bought in to what Tom Thibodeau and Leon Rose are selling. So at the end of the day, you know, this team has an outside shot to be the two seed. The two seed. Probably the three seed. More of an outside shot for the three seed. But still, they have a chance to be one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference. They have a chance to make a run. You know, if you don't want to play for Tom Thibodeau, oh well, dude. If you want to win basketball games, if you want to be a part of a winning culture, the Knicks are putting that together right now. So, you know, you figure it out. If your goal is to win, you try to win. The Knicks have a winning culture right now. I don't know what to say. I don't know how that makes him a coach that, you know, you don't want to play for. If you want to just score the basketball, I know it, all the sports taking different angles to how I get, you know, how they were when we were growing up, I guess. But, you know, Thibodeau's style is Thibodeau's style. If you want to shoot, show him that you can shoot. You can't just pull up out of nowhere and just take these shots because you need your shots. We got to play like a unit. And I think Thibodeau does a good job of reeling in his troops and making, getting the best out of everybody. And if you don't want to play for that, just collect your check and shoot your threes, man. That's all I can say.
Charlotte, you know, plenty of teams like Detroit, Charlotte.
Yeah, do we have any players confirmed?
No, I was gonna say, Will. Sorry to disappoint you, but the condition of players sharing who they think the best player in the league is, who they think the best coach to play for, the worst coach to play for is anonymity. So you're not going to get any clarity there, but
it's fine. But
I will tell you that there are plenty of teams that are willing to cut those checks to guys that just want to go get takes off in garbage time, you know? So,
oh, we've seen it.
Yeah. And
we've seen it every day.
the final question I want to throw out here, let me give you guys some numbers. Monty Williams, 6 year, $78 million. Greg Popovich, 5 years, $80 million. Eric Spoelstra, 8 years, $100 million. Doc Rivers through the 2027 season is making about $40 million. And Steve Kerr signed a 2-year, $35 million extension with the Warriors in February. I mean, do we project that these numbers are going to keep going up? Do the Knicks try and talk to Thibodeau this offseason and extend him because they've got a good coach and they should look to hold on to him? Or do the Knicks try and trust that, you know, these salaries are going to deflate, that the TV deal won't affect them too much? And, you know, do they run the risk of losing Thibodeau if they don't extend him? He is signed, you know, right now making about $7 million a year.
I think long term, the amount that head coaches get paid will actually go down. I think we missed that bullet a while ago with the KD Kyrie stuff, but I do think ultimately the Knicks will be fine if they want to extend to it. They should be able to do that, but definitely is an interesting conversation to have.
The only true winner on that list that you said, Chris, there was only one guy that was not a winner on that list, and that's Monty Williams. He went to one NBA finals. So, you know, those coaches are making that money because, I mean, Spoelstra's been to who knows how many finals. Kerr, dynasty. Popovich, dynasty. They earn that money. So I think it all depends on what the Knicks do in the future. He's locked up. He's here. So we're going to need to see the success. Making it to the Eastern Conference Finals or even the second round and not making that next step, you don't get that extension. So we'll see.
Well, we'll see how it goes. We'll see what Leon Rose and company decide to do. But that's going to wrap it up for us here on Pick and Pod, WFUV Sports' exclusive NBA podcast. For Will Talent and Colin Locker, and I'm Chris Persiainen, and thanking our producer, Ralph Barbieri, for working behind the boards this week. And thanking you guys for tuning in. Stay tuned to the WFUV Sports social channels for coverage of all sports and March Madness, of course. We've got you covered. Stay tuned. Thank you so much, and have a great spring break, Fordham students.